Welcome to another episode of We Got This Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Francesca Hatami Andersson, the Head of People and Culture at BayWa RE Nordic and Baltic. And we will talk about micromanagement and how we can move away from it, but most of all, how we can move more towards trust, flexibility, and transparency. We Got This showcases individuals and organizations that create people-focused workplace cultures to help it become the norm rather than the exception. It's something that will require a mindset shift, and probably not something that any of us can do alone. But together, we got this. Francesca, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning indeed. Good morning for us. Good afternoon or good evening for whoever else might be somewhere else in the world, because that's the beauty of time zones and that we can connect from wherever we are. Without further ado, we need to do my usual icebreaker question. That is, yes. When you were little, who did you want to be when you grew up?
That is a very interesting question. And I can say that there were two jobs really competing in my head. I either wanted to become a journalist or I wanted to become a midwife.
Interesting. Were any particular reasons between either of these?
Journalism sounded very appealing because it was more reporting on things and facts, which I really liked as a kid, about what is going on, why is it going on. And I had found the traveling part rather appealing. And when it comes to midwifery, I have a big social heart. So the thought of helping, especially and empowering women in the difficult and very exciting point in their life, creating life, bringing it to the world, I had found also very interesting, but also the hardship that comes with it.
Okay. And I'm guessing the second one connects a little bit more with what you do now. Or am I drawing wrong conclusions in terms of looking after people, helping people, and that kind of HR element that you do now? Does that connect?
It definitely does connect, but so does journalism, because I truly believe that HR and the work that comes with it should be based off of facts and not of feelings.
Okay, very true. And what about when did you get into your journey in HR? Because I know, similar to myself, you're a bit of a generalist. You've tried many different things, many different careers. But true. We both, in a way, ended up in HR.
It's a journey, really. It was a chance that I took. It was nothing that I've ever applied for. I was working in Sweden by then, and at a company where the HR decided to, you know, look further and take on another opportunity. And I had talked to her, like, in terms, how's it going? Is it difficult to recruit when you think of someone who is fluent between the German and the Swedish culture? Because that's what we were looking for back in the days. And I jokingly told her if I had any HR experience in Sweden, I'd definitely do the job. Then a day later, I sat down with their CEO, and we decided that we're going to give it a chance, which meant back then I had to do a lot of education, take a lot of classes. I didn't know anything about Swedish labor law or how to do HR in Sweden. So it was a learning process for many years, and I'm still learning.
That's true. We all are. It's a fascinating journey how sometimes you say something half jokingly, and then a few weeks, 3 months later, they either come back or completely transform to something else.
Right.
Which is always nice to see. And obviously, part of our conversation is to do with the fact that you are in Sweden. You are working within a Swedish company per se within the Swedish market and the Nordic market. We will be talking about how we can move away from micromanaging, because it's a topic that you and I have discussed, and we agree that it's something that we still see quite a lot of, and it might not be as bad in many organizations as it used to be, as the kind of classic micromanagement that we all know and love to hate so much. Maybe before we do, because BayWa's going to be the context for us a little bit. So maybe let's dive into that a little bit more. Can you tell us where exactly, kind of what your remit is, and tell us a little bit more about the Nordic and the Baltic part of the organization that you work in?
If I understood your question right, a little bit how the topic micromanagement applies on the Nordic and Baltic, or did back then, or...
Let's start with the context of the organization. Where are you based, kind of in terms of team sizes and things like that, and how you came into the organization?
wonderful. So BayWa itself is a rather big company working all around the globe, has 4,500 employees and growing strongly, based off in Munich in Germany. And then they have legal entities all over the world. And one of the legal entities, or two to be precise, is presented in Sweden. And that's what we call the Nordic and the Baltics. When I joined BayWa RE in autumn last year, there were roughly over 20 people. And now we are approaching 35, 40 people. So it's been quite a growth journey. And yeah, we are actively right now working in Sweden and Finland, and are working with the Baltic markets as well.
Do I remember right, and please tell me if I'm making it up, I might be mixing it up and had a conversation, that you came in when the organization was going or starting through a internal transformation, or is that something that you started after you joined?
No, definitely not. That was definitely already ongoing when I joined. There was a shift in management, and when I entered, by the time it had already been a few months with the new management in places, and it was rather obvious for me joining, my focus was supposed to be to bring in structure, to bring in processes, to make it run more smoothly because of the growth that happened, but that also continues to happen. And then it became also rather clear that we're not only talking about company organization and change, we are talking also people and culture change that had and has to happen still.
And was that purely driven by the fact that the company, the subsidiary wants to grow, and it was that kind of laying that foundation for that growth? Or was it more linked to, okay, we've identified these problems and we want to change, and then the growth came as a result of that?
It was kind of a chaotic situation, and this is purely my personal analysis of the situation, really, in terms of everyone who entered the company in the months that I have been there now has a completely different mindset, also due to the recruiting that has happened and the approach by leadership that has happened to people that have been working there a rather longer time. I'm not talking about like 10 plus years. It has been really clear with the questions that have been brought up to my attention that we need to really dive in deep into what kind of culture are we actually working with here, and how do we want it to be? Because the outlook was very clear how we want it to be. Now it's really just a question of how do we get there, and how do we build trust within the organization?
Because when we spoke, we talked about micromanagement. It's kind of one of the topics that did come up naturally, as it does in conversation. Was that, I would say, the main thing that you wanted to tackle, or was it just one of the things kind of towards the top of the list that you have identified in terms of what are the behavioral, the mindset shifts and the leadership shifts that need to happen within the organization?
I think it turned out to be like micromanagement turned out to be one of the roots to what we saw inside the organization, and why some question or points were not evolving as fast as they maybe could have. So this is more of a root, not the symptom. The symptom itself looked very different, and the focus is very clear now on focusing, okay, this is really like, this is in the past. We don't go there anymore. This is really nothing that I can confidently say that we don't live up to that anymore. Mm-hmm. And now it's really the focus just to join the workforce, because it's really rather everyone is different. Everyone is unique. Everything brings different aspects to the table. But as an organizational growth and a culture growth, we have to be very open and honest. Who are we as an organization? What are our like core values? How do we bring those core values to the people? And then even if you want to work with culture, there's only so much one can do. You have to bring the culture will form with the people. I can sit there as much as I want and talk about this is how I want the culture to be. The culture will eventually form within the people. And then we have to really live up to, for instance, one of our core values, lead by example. And that means then give trust to the people. And that proves, that can prove rather hard. And it's very surprising for me too. I've had not done this kind of work before. Also have to be honest with that. I come from a bigger organization where the culture and the work, the core values and everything had been in place for many, many years. So it was just developing and making sure that we evolve in the right direction. And now it's really like a huge shift in the mindset also of the people and learning to trust.
You've uttered words, many, many fantastic words, but there's two that I'm trying to stop myself, but I won't, in terms of catching on. And you mentioned the words root and symptom. That's something that I love that, by the way, the fact that you identify micromanagement as a root cause, because in most situations, we don't see that. We look at, and I think it's kind of part of human nature to a certain extent. We, and especially with organizations, we see something, we want to fix it. But again, it's often superficial. Is that symptom that we're treating? And it's, if it's the first one, that's fine. But if it's the second, third, fifth, tenth time that you're addressing the same thing, we have to stop and ask, okay, well, why isn't this working? Is our approach, or are we doing something? Are we actually addressing something that we shouldn't be, because it's not the root cause, as you said. So I'm actually really curious, because you said that you've identified micromanagement as a root. What were the symptoms that you were seeing?
The symptoms, to put it as broad as possible, continuously asking the same question in terms of, is it okay if I do this? Are we supposed to do this? So basically but also the need for a frame, the urgent need for a frame, not just saying, oh, well, you know, this is your project. You go from A to B. You decide the road on your own. See ya. It had to be more led. Okay, this is the framework. These are possible ways you can go. And now you decide which way you want to go from A to B. But I would say the continuously asking the same question in terms of, are we supposed to do this? Are we supposed to do that? But also blaming, I cannot do something because I have not been given a way. I've been not given a road or an alternative, or I'm lacking something in the back of it. Let's talk, for instance, talent management. Of course, talent management is very important. Let's say you want to have a chat about a personal development plan. Maybe the strategy isn't already up and running, but of course, talent management is important. You can agree on courses that the individual should take or should develop in, but then sometimes this falls short because there is an urgent need for, I need the whole frame, I need the whole picture. I cannot act with just a puzzle piece. And when you grow massively, and let's say growing from in the beginning of last year, 14 people to now 35 people is a rather big growth in terms, if you look on the percentage, then of course, also, there won't be a whole picture to a certain extent. You get great support from the headquarter, from our corporate HR, for instance, but still there are questions that are more on a regional, local level. And I have seen that, oh, I cannot take up this point because I don't know the whole picture. And I'm being like, okay, there is no flexibility in adapting the thought of, I don't need the whole picture because I know our core values and I know how we want to develop this kind of business topic. So also a greater need for leadership than, let's say, if you have your group of leadership, your management team, everyone is on board and doing their own thing, knowing what we agree upon. But there is, to a certain extent, a greater need for leadership. Not because it's leading by example, it's really leading by, I take you by the hand and show you how to do it.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the things that you've done to start addressing this? And from which side, if I can put it that way, was it from the leadership side? Or was it more from the employee, the ground level side? Or was it an overarching approach?
Here's the thing. I'm still doing that, right? It is still in the go. And for the first, it had to start with the leadership, because I cannot change a company if leadership is not on board with that. I cannot change culture from, let's say, a more micromanagement kind of style to a more trust style if the leadership isn't on board with it. So this was basically the background that I have. I have the full support of the leadership and what I'm doing. O-Tone, you do what you do, and that is great. Okay, so this gives me a lot of trust in what I'm doing, and I'm able to execute it. Then, of course, something that I have experienced in terms of question and talking is to basically over and over repeat. What did we say? What are we saying? How are we working? We do trust you with that. You are able to do that. You have a great amount of experience to do that. If you have the need, go to your manager, talk it through. But you got it, basically what we're talking about. We got this in terms of that. Something, now I'm coming a little bit more back to terms of journalism and fact basis that is very important to me. I do not like to recruit based off on feelings, for instance. I do not like to sit there and be like, I know, I was a rather nice person. I'd like to work with him. No, you have to know, does this person fulfill the basic checklist on requirements that we're having, or was it another person that fulfilled those checklists? So you have to kind of find your facts and your truth. And I want to know, how is the organization doing? We are not only working in Malmö, where we have the head office, the headquarter in the Nordic, and Stockholm. We also have offices a little bit spread out, like one people offices. And we do not sit together every day. We do not see each other every week. So it is important to really also check in with the people. How are you doing? And how can we do this? How is the engagement? So we decided on implementing a survey tool, an engagement tool to measure employee engagement. And we have now done the first survey. We received the first feedbacks on the most important drivers within a company, like motivation, relationship, workload, health, and so further and so forth. And it gives us a great insight in how the organization is actually doing. It is completely anonymous, which encourages everyone to speak up and maybe leave a comment. We also do have, except everyone is different. Not everyone is outgoing, outspoken, or can put it into words. So with the help of that survey tool, we are also able to identify areas of growth where we need to do better, but also areas within strategic management. Is everyone aware of our vision? Do they know what we are going for? Do you know where we're going to? And we also implemented 2 times a year now that we have team days where we gather every one of us and where we also repeatedly say, short and sweet, this is us, this is how we work, these are our core values, this is our strategic outlook. Mm-hmm. And then the people get to decide, what else do we want to talk about? What else is important? And I believe that this also creates common ground. We are in this together. The purpose that we're working for is extremely giving with renewable energy. So everyone is agreed around the purpose and has a great amount of insight into that topic and contributes a lot. And now we just have to drive it together as a team and organization. And those team days have been a great value and add to that. I think mm-hmm. I stopped myself there. I was thinking if I want to add something more. But
feel free. You're on the roll.
No, but I think something, I wrote this actually down, something that has also been proven quite the challenge is, anyone who knows me might have a little laugh right now, everything around tech, IT system and structure has to be in places. I do believe that great systems serve the organization and do not add any more work to it. That's at least how it should be. And I am quite the nerd when it comes to this. So I've been working immensely with our internal intranet. So I've been putting everything into structure. I checked, okay, is everyone aware? What kind of policies do we have? Do we even have the right policies in place that we do need now, even that we're growing? There are legal requirements. When it comes to that, we also have to make sure that everyone has the adequate knowledge and competence in order to execute their job, especially within leadership that we want to. What kind of work environment requirements are there in Sweden on a manager? You have to be supportive. And as an employer, you have the whole responsibility for the work environment of every individual, no matter where they work, in the office or at home. So that's also kind of interesting to see how those go hand in hand. Like, it's, you know, you have to raise the bar, make everyone aware of, first of all, that it is an issue, then agree on how you continue to move forward. I'm very fortunate to have the trust of the leadership team behind me and execute it. So we restructured our intranet and made it more available, more structured. We have a task force in place where everyone that is curious and interested can contribute with what they see is important within their team and department. We do have the engagement survey and we do have our team days that we prioritize right now.
That's a lot. That's a lot of stuff that you've implemented in, I don't want to say a short period of time, but if you said that you started autumn last year, that's not a year. So it seems like you definitely had your hands full. And that on one hand, for me, brings a question around chaos in a way, because there's a lot, maybe not chaos, but definitely a lot of moving parts and a lot of changes happening. How did the teams react? I'm assuming, obviously, you didn't introduce all of this on day two of being in the organization all at once, inundating people. But even with the gradual introduction, when people do see the value of these things straight away and are very open to this, that still can throw people into anxiety over, oh my God, things are moving, things are changing, and there might be a lot of resistance. So, what was kind of the reaction from the team, from the organization as a whole?
Mostly positive. I'm thinking now about, for instance, our intranet. It was mostly positive because we all spent days on trying to find things, documents for projects, or just like simple policies. When I started and I was looking for our staff handbook, our employee handbook, I found 5 different versions of it, but it was not clear what is the actual one that you shall look into. So what benefits are actually in place right now? So I do believe that those changes and making it clear, here is where you look for people and development topics, here's where you find the policies that we implemented. We had workshops on the most important policies like signature and purchase. So it is clear where goes the border, where goes the frame, that actually made feel people more at ease. We cannot say we give you the freedom of doing things and then you don't know anything about what the freedom looks like when you come from a micromanagement kind of style where prior it was said, oh, you have to do this and now you do this and then you do that. You sit there and be like, I don't know how to do it. So you have to give the frame. And it has been met mostly positive. Then with every kind of, and I try to not to use the word change because it looks like something. Basically, it looks like something like a piece of Play-Doh that you take and you just put it into another shape and leave it there on the table, thinking, of course, about my kids. But it really is not like this. I rather like to think of it as a Pokemon. Makes sense. You evolve. There is no way back anymore. You evolve the organization. There is no change. It's a natural development that's happening. And within that development and evolvement, there will always be resistance. And I think within, when you talk about in terms of management, to accept that evolvement will bring pieces out of structure for a while, temporarily, but also to accept and to meet this kind of questions and acknowledging them, simply saying, yes, that's true. Prior, we did it like this. I agree that it, in certain terms, was maybe easier before, and then put it in perspective. Then we had only been 13, 14, 15 people. So those kind of solutions that we had back in place did work for 15, but does not work for 35 anymore. And then open and honestly asking for feedback. How would it work for you? We all have worked in other companies before, and we all come with a great amount of knowledge and experience. And I love to dig into that and adapt that. I also have so many great experience from my previous works. And I sometimes believe like, oh, this is the way we have to go because it worked in my previous job. But then realizing it does not work here. So you have to be open to the chaos. I do believe it follows along with it. And then see where the pieces fall down and create a new frame within your new terms of values and trust. Coming back to trust.
I'm loving this conversation simply because you're giving me so many different threads to pull on, which I absolutely love when I have this choice. But and there's one I'd like to come back to. You mentioned around the analogy that you used that some of the as things evolve, pieces will be out of place, out of structure. I often see situations where there's some sort of transformation, some sort of evolution within the team coming along, maybe even new team being formed. And the expectation is, yeah, do this, do this, do that. This is how when you evolve, we want you to evolve. These are the new things that we want you to do. But your targets and your deadlines and everything else for all the other work that you do remain the same. As in, how can you achieve what was set out at the beginning of the year without taking into consideration that this evolution, these processes will change, and now we're asking you to do all of this thing where you need to spend time and energy figuring it out as a team, how you're going to work, how you're going to do things, how you're going to find things, mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Yet not adjusting the original target that was set at the start of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm pulling at this thread, because you mentioned that, you know, you said to management that things will be out of shape, out of proportion, out of structure. What happened then? What was the reaction from the leadership team? And were there any adjustments in terms of what's expected of what the team is going to deliver in terms of productivity performance and their targets?
It's a rather interesting question, because I was thinking about it for one of the teams that also had implemented a new IT solution and yet have the same deadlines on their table from the headquarters in Munich, for instance, and then they have to adapt to it. And I can gladly say that the whole BayWa r.e. organization is a very adaptive organization. So, of course, we do have hardcore deadlines. Yet when it is a system change, for instance, it is of course crucial. How do I put it into words? The pressure is not on the team. Let's put it like this. We do really have a great management team, and they are taking the heat and putting in the extra work gladly, knowingly that this is not a permanent, only a temporary situation. And I'm so appreciative and also inspired by working with people that do not make it look like a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and there is complaint, and people shall be able to vent it and being like, oh, that was really crap. Sorry for the language. That didn't really go as I thought, and I'm having struggle here. If we talk about it within our group of management team, that's perfect. That's where it should be. And then I believe it is a really great example that we said that the heat is not out there on the people. Then, of course, the workload is and might temporarily be higher. And this is where we're certainly right in. We are in the midst of it. So I don't know really how we will go out of there when it comes or in terms of pressure. Right now, we were building on another side of the company where there are no certain deadlines, where you basically secure the project. So there is not so much hardcore deadline to be working with. But I could see a great adaption on the leadership side. And I think that really saved a bit of the trouble.
I'm glad you said that there is that adaptability, because I'm currently working on a project where we are looking at, we're focusing on behavioral changes, mm-hmm. within an organization around a specific element of the organization, including kind of digitizing certain things. And one of the things I've brought up very, very early on was, okay, you know, we want these behavioral changes, which are quite significant over the long term. But what adjustments have you made, or how you've taken this into account, the time required and the energy required for people individually to make these behavioral changes around their mindset, around belief? Because that, you know, that behavioral change will lead to how they do their work. Mm-hmm. How they do their work will impact how they cooperate with other people, and so on. So the knock-on effect is huge. But even the amount of energy required at an individual level is still quite intense. For some people, behavioral change might be and done, you know, very quick. Snap of fingers, done. For others, it might be, oh, you know, I've been doing this way for 25 years. Why should I change? Mm-hmm. It's actually very uncomfortable. I'm getting anxious. It's stressing me out, whether people realize that or not. It's going to take a lot of energy out of them. And then, yeah, obviously, they have to do pretty much go through the same process as a team, mm-hmm. as their small unit, and so on. And it kind of compounds. And yet the expectation of productivity and what they're going to deliver by the end of the quarter, by the end of the year, remains the same.
Yeah.
And but this is not the first time I've had this conversation, but without fail, I don't want to say the air leaves the room, but it's kind of, everybody goes, wow, we didn't think of that. What does that mean? And I think that's kind of where the focus on, we need to deliver because we need to hit our targets, we need to hit mm-hmm. our sales target. Mm-hmm. The overemphasis on that, that's what gets in the way. That's what puts us in that mindset. Yes, sales figures are absolutely important. Turnover and profit within the organization is absolutely important, vital, because without that, we don't have an organization. Mm-hmm. But if we overfocus on that, that's what you get. You don't think about, you don't allow for the time and space needed for transformation for evolution to happen.
That's so true. I'm thinking through what you're saying, and just like it really feels so true, the acknowledgement of time, the time aspect in it. And that's why I do believe that that's where HR really comes into the picture. You can make sure that some kind of this behavioralism is already represented in a future colleague, in a future employee, in like during the recruiting process, during the pre and onboarding process, but also when you have your, if you want to call it appraisals, or if you want to call it your frequent check-in, your one-on-ones, your stand-ups, you know, you name it, to make sure that these parts are there. In Sweden, it's very important that everyone is seen and heard on a culturally work basis. You really have to take the time. And I have seen kind of good and great results by just simply acknowledging and saying to that person, I see your struggle and I see that you are doing and trying so hard. You're doing so great. How more? What else could we do and can we do? And this is kind of an advantage of being a small-sized organization. You work so close with everyone that you can basically, you can read the room and you can ask those kind of questions. And if you're lucky enough and have some trust within the people, then you will get an answer and it will complete the bigger picture of why it takes time to change one certain thing inside the organization. So I rather feel lucky right now that I am working so close with everyone and get to ask questions and being like, you know, simple question like, how are you doing? What you think about the new page that I put up? I've been working on an onboarding page for our region. And we had this year, it's not many for most, but we have 9 new employees onboarded, and just sending out the link and asking and dipping into, how do you think about that? Is that something that you also wondered the first days, and just getting the feedback and being open? And I think the transparency and information is something that is to a certain extent new inside the company. It was more like, oh, this is my department, like information is power kind of thinking. And now like basically putting down the borders and saying like, we all work together and this common goal, the common purpose, the common strategy is like, it's so big, and it actually drives the people a lot. And this is also something that we're very lucky with to experience.
I know you've mentioned this in a few minutes ago when you were saying about kind of the process have you gone through in terms of all the evolution and one thing that I'm curious about is around, you know, introducing these new policies, new changes. You mentioned some workshops, especially around kind of some of the policies and the procedures. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, how did you arrive there? Was that a very much a kind of a group effort, even with the intranet, for example, that you're going to use an intranet and how you're going to use the intranet? Was that something that, let me put it bluntly, that you kind of mandated and dictated, this is how we should do it? Or did you actually sit down with your team and take advantage of the fact that you are a small organization and you can talk, let's say, to all of the departments within one meeting, everybody's viewpoints and agree on that? What was the process there?
A mix of things. Let's say when you look on those bigger policies like purchasing and signatures, we're a global company. We do have a global frame on it. There's not much to sit down to and let's agree on if we should do it like this or like that. So we have some legal requirements on us. And then it's basically just a good old top down. This is the policy as it is right now. And yeah, but you're welcome to have a look into it. We offer classes on it and then you can join. So there is not much freedom in the decision of it. When we look at the intranet side, for instance, that was something that became very clear to me within the first 2 weeks. Okay, we really need to sit down there and check in with everyone. Where is the actual struggle? Where are the pain points? What is something that is taking up most of our time and our productivity, quite honest? So I gathered the information myself and I come up with a plan within the management team. This is how I would like to execute it. And then it was an ongoing change. And now I am in the phase where I am guiding the people and continually answer when they are, where do I find this? Where do I find that? You will find it here. You will find it there. This is the newly built pages. On every team day, we're going through. These are the major changes that have happened in our intranet. Of course, not as much that it's not recognizable anymore. Like the foundation is still set. And now we agreed on a task force where from each department, people are there and will be able to give their input. We realized we do not have the same base of knowledge in order to make a well thought decision. So now the next step is, okay, we have to educate. We have to spread competence. And then based if we all have like similar competence, then we can make decision on how to evolve our intranet in a way that it serves our organization. Right now, people don't know how to use it. So, and that is also putting, of course, limitation that creates workarounds that shouldn't be there, that makes cybersecurity a topic. It makes workload a topic. Oh, it's so much to do. I don't know how. Yeah, because there was obviously never taken the time in order to educate. And I do believe that is another topic that I've seen throughout many organizations and whenever I'm talking to with people, having time and a budget for education is so crucial. Technical development is right now so fast that we're really running behind. Sweden is a country that's rather innovative and very in front of the spot, like has rather a front seat. But even here, you can now feel the pressure. It is time to make people be able to make the most out of the solutions that are offered.
Agreed. It's the time and the budget, as you said. I like mm-hmm. that range for an organization. Indeed, from a time point of view that we need to allow for that, but also from a monetary point of view, we need to mm-hmm. factor that in, that's not going to be time spent on work per se, that's going to be can be directly calculated into profit for the organization, of sales for the organization, at least not in the short term. In the long mm-hmm. term, indirectly, mm-hmm. yes, you will be able to attribute that. Mm-hmm. But again, that's one of those things that organizations need to look at much more closely. You told us what you've done, what you're sort of in the process of doing. What is it that you will be doing going forward? So what have you got kind of coming up over the next few months for the rest of the year in terms of this evolution, in terms of this work, but also anything else that you're really excited or looking forward to?
Something that I'm actually very excited over and that I'm looking very much forward to is starting our employee journey in Finland. We just signed our first ever employee in Finland. Quite a tough market to recruit, especially if you have not a subsidiary there. So that was a rather huge step. We'll continue to look for colleagues in Finland, but also in the Baltics and bringing our business there. So that is a really exciting journey to be on. It not only widens my horizon in terms of labor law, but also, and this is something I'm very passionate about, the culture, the cultural question, how do we incorporate that and how do you spread the good goals and vibes and vision through different working cultures. So very excited for that next step to happen. On the process side of you, it's very, some people might find it, oh, it's very boring, but I find it super exciting, is to be continuously putting in the work and updating our job descriptions, because this is our base where we're coming from and what we will be developing on. Without a good job descriptions and requirements, you will not find the right person or not be able to evolve the person that's currently holding the seat. And also technical solutions. Of course, we have now implemented our employee survey tool, which we're very happy with. And the next step then will definitely be looking into more structure when it comes to contract management. We have GDPR questions to take into consideration. And there is a variety of systems offered within our organization. So now it's really like cherry picking. How do we put this up? We have a lot of systems to work with. How do we secure this without tiring the people out, being like, oh, another new system. Oh, it's another new system. And people just getting resentful and being like, oh, I don't want to work with it. It doesn't add any value. And in autumn, the biggest topic will definitely be to really develop and now put in place our intranet. And I do believe that within the next 6 months, like maybe 9 months, we should be able to elevate everyone's competence, evolving the pages that we're having and making them more useful. And I love to come to the point when I tell everyone, you will find it now on our intranet. Everyone will be like, oh, nice, check. And not being like, oh, where? I don't know. I don't want to go in there. That they find it resourceful input.
Sounds like you're going to have your hands full, but are you going to have the opportunity to enjoy some of the summer before then?
Absolutely. It's the last working week. And from next week on, both my husband and me will be off and we'll be going camping with the kids. That's really something Excellent. We look forward to.
That's great to hear. Francisca, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for taking the time to share your journey, your individual journey, but also the journey within and of the organization, because I think it did shed a lot of light in terms of how we can approach things and to see, for most of all, symptoms as symptoms and not to be afraid to dig a little bit deeper to identify the root causes if we really want to build a more stable, more, it's a lot stronger company cultures within organizations. So thank you very much.
Thank you too.
That was our conversation about micromanagement, but not only, as you can tell, and I'm sure you'll be able to fish out a lot of different things that you can look into that you can utilize within your organizations. But most of all, as we said, when something comes up, when you've got challenges, do look to address them. But then if they resurface, look a little bit deeper, look under the surface, what's going on there, to really identify the root causes of the problems. And a lot of the time, inadvertent, unintentional micromanagement or something akin to micromanagement might be one of those root causes. So I would always suggest that you look as deep as you can. I was your host, Lechosowski. Until next time.